Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius.
He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
What is up, people? Welcome back to another episode of Pick and Pod. I am your host, Ethan Best, joined with my two co-hosts, Derek Bullier and Ethan Wax. Today we are talking the Knicks and their prospects for the NBA Finals as they continue to roll on through these NBA playoffs. Then later on, we'll talk the NBA playoffs in general and give some of our predictions as the playoffs start to wind down with eight teams left and get to the conference finals in the East and the West. So we have a lot of stuff to get to today. But first, I want to ask you guys, how's everybody doing?
I'm feeling pretty good. I know me and you, well, I don't know what to say because you're both named Ethan. I don't know like how to, I don't know like if I should just look at either of you when I say it. Like,
call me E-Dubs.
E-Dubs? Okay, E-Dubs, I can do E-Dubs and what, EB?
You can say EB,
okay,
yeah.
EB. I know we both filled in pretty late, so we're just coming in on the rip. We're just trying to figure it out as we go. And
yeah, buddy.
E-Dubs, he's been ready.
Ready and locked in.
Absolutely.
Feeling pretty good. I got one more final on Monday. And
me
then,
too.
And
same.
Then I'm out.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely great to be close to the end of the semester. I feel like it's something that we're ready to close the chapter on, especially given how hectic the last 4 months have been. But without any further ado, I want to get to the New York Knicks and, you know, the way that they've been handling business throughout these NBA playoffs. So as we're all aware of, the Knicks are currently up 2-0 on the Philadelphia 76ers, and Game 3 is actually tonight. I want to ask you guys, given the way that the Knicks dispatched the Hawks in Game 6 of last series and their 2-0 edge on the Philadelphia 76ers now, where do you see this Knicks team going? Do you think they sweep the Sixers? Do you think the Sixers win the next four games and take the series? Like, what do you guys think? Feel free. Go on.
Look, I think they are a team that can make the finals. They're fully capable of making the finals. It's just, I feel like only them themselves will sort of make them not reach their ultimate goals. Like, they're plenty talented enough, and I think they can make a strong run, and I feel like their path to the Eastern Conference Finals, at least, has been fairly, quote-unquote, easy in some ways, because, I mean, they dominated the Hawks, and they were supposed to be to play Boston in the second round and got out of that. So I think in this Philly series, I think Philly is too good to get swept. However, I feel like they could get a game against us, but I just think the fact that Nick Nurse, their head coach of the Sixers, is literally running his players into the ground. Maxey's played 47 minutes in the previous game. Whew. And you got George playing 43. I understand these guys are their top players, but I think a long 7-game series, come back here 2 days later and being expected to play at a high level, no wonder why they lost by 39 in Game 1. And they played better in Game 2, but I feel like fatigue is really going to set in, and the Knicks got plenty of rest.
So, I mean, in some ways, to elaborate on what you had said, English is a hard language. Let's remember that the Philadelphia 76ers came back from down 3-1 on the Celtics in the first round. So just winning the next three games in and of itself is a hard feat to do, especially against a team like Boston, who I actually had, I think many within the NBA fanatic community had, playing New York in the second round. And I actually articulated that if the Celtics and the Knicks played each other in the second round, whoever won that series was going to go to the NBA Finals. I still feel that way in a sense of the Sixers-Knicks series, namely just because I do not trust Detroit. But in some ways, I feel that if the Knicks, God forbid, sweep Philadelphia, then the Pistons are going to have their hands full because, you know, I know Cade Cunningham is amazing, but the Pistons, for the most part, although they do have 60 wins, I just don't see it going anywhere, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, and back to the Knicks, I think a lot of valid points have been said, and I think the main thing that is holding the Knicks where they are and what could keep pushing them forward is they're riding such a high. They were up 50 in game 6 at halftime against the Hawks or whatever the number was.
It was like 47. Something
insane.
Yeah.
Then they come in and they blow out Philly by over 30.
Woo!
So then they're riding this immaculate high. And yes, they get the win on Wednesday by 6, and then they play again today. But I think if Philly is able to halt that momentum whatsoever and get some kind of like throw a wrench in kind of the Knicks' momentum at the moment, that could definitely change the series. I mean, if Philly does absolutely nothing to stop that, regardless of if the Knicks play well or not, they have such waves of momentum behind them. I think that they could pull it out regardless. So Philly, they need to do something to stop just the absolute train that the Knicks are at the moment, blowing out teams like they are the past couple of games. So, I mean, that's the plan of action, and I don't know if running an 8-man rotation and having three or four of your starters play 40 minutes a game is the right answer. Well, especially when Tyrese Maxey makes 1-3. But, I mean, I don't know. You're at home, so you can figure something out there.
I think in retrospect, when you talk about the eight-man rotation that the 76ers roster is currently running, we've seen this movie play out before. We saw it play out in Houston during the 2018 NBA playoffs, and this 6-8 man rotation really came into fruition during the Western Conference Finals against the Golden State Warriors. However, in the historic Game 7, where the Rockets missed 27 straight threes in a row, which was an absolute horror show. I remember watching that game live. D'Antoni, for the most part, played, I think, 6 guys. Someone can fact check me on that, but he played mostly 6 guys throughout the entire game. So as the game wears on, fatigue no doubt becomes a factor, especially when you're trying to shoot threes from behind the arc. So to your point, Derek, if the Philadelphia 76ers continue to run this 8-man rotation, then it's going to come back to like bite them.
You also have a compromised Joel Embiid.
You do. You definitely do. I forgot what his injury was.
He had appendicitis.
It was also hip soreness and ankle soreness. He's just never healthy. And
which I think that's I don't want to say it's a good sign, but it's a good sign that the Sixers, after getting blown out in game 1, lose Embiid for game 2, and then they only lose by 6. I think that's a good sign for how the series is progressing for them, especially when he's back for game 3, yes?
Questionable.
Regardless if he plays or not, they're going to be at home. So I think it's trending well for the Sixers, but I mean, regardless, they have to play well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Knicks are more than likely going to win game 3 tonight and take a 3-0 series lead. And, you know, they say that they're in, and no lead is safe within sports, but within the NBA, no team has ever came back from down 0-3 to win a series. There have been 4 instances in NBA history where a team forced a game 7, but they ultimately ended up losing the game seven. It was, I think, the 1951 Knicks, ironically, the 1994 Nuggets, the 03 Blazers against the Mavericks, and not that long ago, the 2023 Celtics, when they almost did a 3-0 comeback against the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. So you've had four instances where teams have came back and tied the series for a Game 7, but all of them ended up losing Game 7. But in my opinion, I think that the Knicks are going to win Game 3 and take this 3-0 series lead. But with that basically being discussed, I do want to move into general NBA playoffs because, like I said, I do not trust the Pistons despite the fact that they are up 2-0 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But then you also have the Thunder and the Lakers out in the West with OKC holding a 2-0 lead against the Lakers as they go to Los Angeles for Game 3 tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So what are your thoughts on these two series and the one I didn't mention in the Spurs and Timberwolves, and how does one see those series going?
I think this Laker-Thunder series, it just looks like a complete mismatch. I mean, we kind of knew expecting that to happen with Luka Doncic out. It just seems like LeBron can't carry. Yes, he won that one series, which was very impressive against Houston.
Against Houston, yeah.
But to go up against the reigning defending NBA champions,
who are currently 6-0 in this postseason, I might add.
Yeah, and they're just, I feel like they never lose at home.
They
basically need to win these next two games to make it a series, because even if OKC gets one, which I think the Lakers will get one of the two games, I think OKC is going to cruise in five. It just seems like, see, the difference between, at least right now, the Lakers really only have Austin Reeves and LeBron James, and the supporting cast. I mean, Marcus Smart is very old.
He's been playing really well the postseason, though. He's played very well.
I just feel like they don't really have much of a bench.
Their bench is basically Luke Kennard.
Yeah, and that's not enough if you want to beat guys like Shea and Chet. And
I mean, even past Chet, Jared McCain off the bench
Jared
had 18.
McCain is very good.
Cason Wallace off the bench had 12.
And these guys, Cason Wallace, if I stand corrected, I think started a bunch of games for OKC and played well, so they have the depth
needed to
go all the way.
To your other point, I was looking it up while both of you guys were talking. The Thunder this season at home went 36-5.
So there you go.
Yeah, to your
one of those
hints,
losses was
like,
to the Charlotte Hornets by 30.
That was crazy. That was honestly
That's my
crazy.
One Hornets mention of the show. We can now go back to not mentioning the play-in game that they played. We can now go back to Lakers Thunder.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, at least Charlotte is on the rise, I feel like.
Hey, if we want to talk about Charlotte, I'm here for it. Also, Colin Knipple should have been Rookie of the Year.
I mean, we can discuss that close to the end of the show. But in some ways, this Lakers-Thunder series, as you guys have both articulated pretty well, I think within the confines of what we would want out of LeBron James in the NBA postseason, I think you cannot get that from a man that has been carrying teams ever since like 2004. He's 41 years of age. He's getting gray in his beard. He's playing with his son now. And also at the same time, we don't even know how much longer he's going to be in the league. I think I have friends who I've discussed this with, but if you give it about, let's say, 1 or 2 years at most, that's how much longer I think LeBron James will still be within the league, because he's not, it's not going to be like Tom Brady where he's like, you know, playing until he's like 45 years old. In fact, that would be when his son Bryce is going to probably come into the league, and I just do not see him staying that long. So give it maybe like next year or even the year after and he'll be out of here.
I hesitate always to talk about something like that with LeBron retiring, because these exact same conversations have been going on for literally probably more than a decade. And it's like, oh, LeBron is like 3 more years. Oh, LeBron is 1 more year. Oh, this is LeBron's last year.
Really?
And people said that in like 2020.
Really?
Yes. People have been talking about LeBron retiring. Oh, he has 1 more year with him and him for years. So, I hesitate to put a time limit on LeBron ever, because, I think there's a lot of things that could put him out of retirement before he'd like want to, like in a story kind of standpoint. I think if he wins the finals, he would retire. Obviously, injury would put him in retirement.
LeBron James doesn't get injured. He doesn't get injured.
I think those are the only two things that would put him out of retirement after this year. I think if he won the chip or if he got injured, like horribly. Beyond
like
that, I don't. Yeah, and beyond that, I wouldn't put a time limit on him, because at this point, he's going to play till he's 80, like, even if he's winning one game a year.
With some respect, just with respect, Derek, I do not remember ever hearing those conversations come up as early as 2020. Maybe I have to look back through my timeline and see what I can find.
People have been talking about LeBron retiring for so long. For forever.
Okay. I guess I'll just have to go back and do some digging, but I just don't remember those conversations coming up. To bring it to another realm, for lack of a better term, what do you guys think about the Spurs and Timberwolves? I personally have the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals, but you know, one.
What?
Yes. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Ant
yes.
and friends?
Yes. Yes.
Ants injured.
Ant and friends, yes.
And they have no...
Yes.
No bench. I'm shocked.
What?
Yes.
They just lost by 38.
Yeah.
Okay, but yes.
And they only won game one by 2.
Yes.
And I'm really shocked they got that.
Yes, and that was because they, like, neutralized Wemby, despite the fact that Wemby had an amazing game at 12 blocks.
Yeah.
Like, that is absolutely
insane.
He
only lost because Wemby went 0 for 8 from 3, and he's never going to do that ever again in his entire career.
Okay, well, Klay Thompson went 0 for 10 from 3 at one point, you know.
He hasn't done it since.
You're right, he hasn't done it since.
Well, he also hasn't played in a very substantial game since, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but what I was saying about the Timberwolves going to the Western Conference Final, you look throughout their entire history... The history of essentially the Timberwolves franchise, and you look at their postseason history, they only lose in one of two rounds. They either lose in the first round or they lose in the Western Conference Final. They don't lose in the second round. And I just do not think that the Spurs, with how good they are going to be able to give them that first, second round exit.
I'm shocked.
I don't know what to say. I'm like,
y'all look like y'all have seen a ghost.
I have. Never in a million years did I think I was going to come here and say, oh, yeah, the Timberwolves are going to beat the Spurs. There's no shot.
Yeah.
There's zero world. Their starting lineup has Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert, Jaden McDaniels, and Julius Randle. There's no Ant.
And Randle is a horrible second option.
I don't disagree with Randle, but
I'm
just...
Or Ant, he came off the bench, Ant, yesterday.
Yeah, he's on a minute restriction.
Yeah, he's on a minute, yeah.
His plus-minus was negative 33.
Jesus.
Oh, my.
So not only did he shoot 1 for 5 from 3 on 24 minutes. Also, he was tied for their top scorer with 12. Him, Julius Randle, Jaden McDaniels, and one other player all had 12. So
yeah,
no one is scoring in high volumes. Naz Reid played 21 minutes and made 3 threes. Like, there's no one who's like a higher volume scorer to affect the Spurs.
They were honestly lucky enough to get past Denver.
That's what I was thinking. I
wanted Denver to play.
Didn't Denver have some like serious injuries though?
I wanted to see
Jokic was also just playing really bad.
I wanted to see Jokic and Wemby.
I did too.
That would have been amazing.
A generational matchup.
Yeah.
But now we have the injured Timberwolves against Wemby.
Hey, man.
Thank God Wemby didn't get a concussion.
I mean, you have Michael Jordan's son and Anthony Edwards going up against Wemby. I'm only saying his son because, like, they somewhat look
every
alike.
Every single time anyone puts any expectations on Ant, he shoots 0 for 10. Like, every single time I see Anthony Edwards is going to have a great game in game 3 of this playoffs, or Anthony Edwards is going to go off, or Anthony Edwards is going to do this, he shoots horribly, and he drops, like, 7 points on all free throws. Like, I've never seen someone have so much high of expectations right before a game and then immediately blow them up.
I mean, that's what we call folding under pressure.
And you know who doesn't fold under pressure? Wemby. He had a horrible game shooting, and he still had 12 blocks.
Okay, anybody that listens to this, you guys are probably going to be scratching your heads and pulling your hair out because I said that, but I personally can live with that. I personally can live with making the prediction that the Timberwolves overtake the Spurs.
And
I
how
do
many
not
games?
Think that. What was that? I'm sorry.
How many games?
How many games?
It's 1-1 now. Which it should 7. Be 2-0. There's no shot that I really didn't think the Spurs were going to lose a single game in this series.
I don't know if any of y'all heard me, but
no, I think it's 7.
7, yeah.
If the Wolves do win, it would have to be in 7. There's no shot they win in any less than 7.
All right, at least he didn't say 5.
Exactly.
Yeah, 5's ridiculous.
Six, I would have jumped across the table, to be honest with you. But, like, I think the Spurs don't lose another game in the series.
So you think that? So you think they're going to win out?
I think they
the rest
win in,
of the
yeah,
series.
I think they win in 5. I don't see a world where they lose another game.
Okay.
Wemby, regardless
top
of
six.
Wemby, really has not played that well offensively. He's a combined 2 for 15 from 3.
Ouch.
But regardless, he's such a defensive monster that he's not like any other player. Where even though he can also drop 30 on you. If he's shooting badly, he can just do the same thing but on defense and just prevent you from scoring. So, like...
I mean, that's what 12 blocks was in game
exactly.
1.
Exactly. Which, I know they did lose that.
Yes.
Which is, like, horrible for history. But, like... which, I mean, you look at defensive stats. It's like, oh, Wemby had the most blocks in a playoff game ever, right? Or something like that.
Something
and
like
then,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, they lose. But... I don't see them losing another, like, I just don't.
Yeah.
Who else? Who got injured in the first round with the Wolves, too? Someone tore something. I can't remember his name.
Let me just look it up.
I don't know why I can't remember the name. I don't know.
Timberwolves injuries.
Oh, Dante DiVincenzo?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, DiVincenzo, yeah. Yeah. Who is
and also
former Nick?
Former Nick, yeah.
And also Dasunmu,
yeah. With
he's
like
also
a right
hurt.
Heel issue.
Yeah, he's also hurt. And he's the only reason that they got past the Nuggets.
Yeah, they have a million injuries to key guys.
And they have to play Wemby. Like, we're just forgetting that they have to play Wemby.
We're just talking about Wemby. What about Stephon Castle, De'Aaron Fox?
I don't trust De'Aaron Fox.
Keldon
I'm sorry,
Johnson.
But I just don't.
I don't not trust De'Aaron
Dylan
Fox.
Harper.
Yeah.
Dylan Harper, yeah, I forgot about him. But
they're
Julian Champagne.
Well, okay, now we're stretching it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Timberwolves have so many injuries. They're already, in my opinion, if both teams were completely healthy, they're still the worst team over the Spurs. And the Spurs have much more depth.
The Spurs have the best chance to take
if anyone's going to beat the Thunder,
it's
going to be
the
Spurs.
I agree.
If the Thunder make
the
finals, there's not a single Eastern team that can beat them.
The Knicks can.
Maybe yeah!
If they have the pure rage in their bodies, like if Trae Young is in the arena and they're just staring daggers at him, they have a shot, possibly. But if Trae Young is not actively taunting the Knicks the entire game, then there's no shot.
I mean, I think that's a fair assessment, but... I will.
I still cannot believe you.
I'll move on from this because I don't want Derek to fly across the table.
I can't do it.
Let me move towards a more.
I'll do the opposite. Cavs Pistons. I think the Cavs still win the series.
So you think that
Cavs are gonna win the series?
I still think they can win the series. It has to be in 7.
Okay.
Because I think the Pistons are just frauds.
No, I agree that the Pistons are frauds, but it would shock me if, like, you know, the Cavs just took the next 4 games and won out. Although
I don't think they'll win the next 4. I think it'd have to be in 7.
So, but, like, 4 out of the next 5, gotcha.
Yeah, because they're already down 0-2, but they're going to Cleveland. And I think...
We got to take both of those.
You got to take both of those in Cleveland if you want to have any shot.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah. I think that eventually, once the Cavs figure out the Pistons' defense, the lack of offensive options from the Pistons will ultimately push them away.
Yeah, I mean... Cade is playing like 42 minutes a night. Yeah. So it's like,
so he's going to get tired. The defense is going to get tired. The Cavs are going to figure it out. Unless the Cavs get tired first, because they already played, well, both teams played a very long 7. So, yeah. And this series is also probably going to go at least 6 or 7. So, regardless of if the Cavs or the Pistons win, I don't think either of these teams make the finals. Purely based on the fact that they've just played such long, agonizing series, especially since I think they'll do it again in this series against each other.
Yes.
So either the Knicks or the Sixers will make the finals, like, probably.
That's what I said, yeah. So I guess we're on the same page. Yeah,
except for the Spurs.
Yeah, except for the Spurs.
Whatever.
But.
Yeah. I think the Cavs still have a shot.
For sure. But on a broader scale, I may have asked this to a few people. I may have even asked it to you guys in the past, but who ultimately takes, like, the chip? I know we're still, like, we still have 8 teams, but who ultimately takes the chip? What's your finals prediction for the who comes out the East, who comes out the West, and in how many games?
It's an interesting question.
Silence.
I think... If you asked me earlier in the playoffs, like right when they started, my answer would have been different. But with how dominant the Knicks have been playing and how strange the East is right now, you have to pick the Knicks. I don't see another option because I simply don't see the Pistons. I just think they're frauds. Like, I just simply don't see them having enough scoring to get through a series.
We agree.
Against a good team. I don't see the Cavs doing it. I don't see the Sixers with all their troubles and also Paul George airballing threes at the end of games. Don't see them doing anything. Embiid will get appendicitis again or something. So I think the Knicks will make the finals. But regardless of who makes the finals of the East, I don't think a single one of those teams will win because either they will have to face either the Spurs or the Thunder, who are going to win either of both their series. And then whoever wins that is going to make the finals, or is going to win the finals. I don't see a world where the Spurs or the Thunder are not the champions.
Yeah.
I was thinking, should I be biased or unbiased?
Well, so, I think in terms of analyzing sports, there's no such thing as real objectivity, but yeah.
But the answer is to be funny.
We're in New York, yes. So let me.
Knicks in 4!
Preach.
Okay, let's not be delusional.
Cat drops 100.
I'm the king of delusional. But here's what I would say. The Knicks, I think, are going to the finals. I'm not going to second guess or anything. As we've mentioned numerous times, the Pistons are just not deep enough to compete with the Knicks in a 7-game series. They don't have the options. The Knicks have Brunson, OG, Cat, McHale, Josh Hart, all these guys. And the Pistons just have Cade. So I like the Knicks in the East.
And the Knicks have Timothy Chalamet.
For real.
So it's kind of over.
Yeah.
In the West, I'm going to make a bold take and take...
Don't
the Spurs come out of
it. I was this close to leaving because I really thought you were going to say the Lakers. I don't know why. I really thought you were going to say the Lakers.
I don't see the Lakers. I like LeBron. I think he's
amazing. If Max Langer was here, he would be saying the Lakers.
Yeah, dude, he's a big Dodgers fan. He is a Lakers fan. Like, I'm starting to question, is bro actually from Los Angeles?
He said he was, and he has an internship there, but he said he became a Dodgers fan in 2016.
Wait, what's it? Oh, yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
That's, like, right on the realm of they were starting to be good. And I don't know.
The Knicks win the chip in six.
In six?
Okay.
Win it in front of the home crowd, Madison Square
Win it
Garden,
in the Garden.
Dude, I mean, a ticket to that would be like so much money.
That would be like at least $25,000.
It'd be my first child.
Right.
Probably my second too. But right. Like, would it be worth it?
I mean, to some New Yorkers, it would.
Oh, 100%.
But for me, I will say the current projections and the current ways in which the postseason is going, I will say I am in agreement with both of y'all that the Knicks will come out of the Eastern Conference. The New York Knicks will make their first NBA Finals appearance since 1999. Yes, it has been that long since the New York Knicks were in an NBA Finals. The last time they were in an NBA Finals, none of us here were even born yet. In essence, I think it'll be the first time they go back since the days of Latrell Sprewell and the days of Patrick Ewing and Allen Houston and Larry Johnson, et cetera, et cetera. Now, for the West, I really think no one's going to, like, beat the Thunder. I think that I would say that their toughest competition would be San Antonio. That is if they get past Minnesota, of course. If they do,
that's the biggest if I've ever heard in sports ever.
If they do, the Thunder, I think, would be either one of those teams in pretty decisive fashion. I do know that the Spurs took the regular season against the Thunder three games to one, if I'm not mistaken. But the NBA playoffs is a different monster. Like, the NBA playoffs, you're going to have to bring your best game. And in some ways, In some ways, I think that the Thunder have learned from their past mistakes. They have learned from, you know, the losses that they took at the hands of the Spurs four times in the regular season. And I think that if they were to meet up again in the postseason, I just think that the Thunder would take it. Let me give you some case studies just to be specific. The Miami Heat in 2012 to 2013, they won 66 games and lost 16. But in the regular season, they lost the season series against the New York Knicks 3-1. Now, the Knicks did end up losing in the second round to the Indiana Pacers with Paul George, et cetera, et cetera. But I honestly still believe had they met up in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think that the Heat would have ultimately took the Knicks in, let's say, 6 or something. Because that Heat team with Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh, that team was really like something to be reckoned with at the time. I know that they end up beating the Spurs in the finals, but of course with
Spurs in the finals. He said it. End the show.
Wow. Do not put words in my mouth. I was talking about 2013 when they beat San Antonio in the finals. But
talking about like 14 years ago.
Yeah
and that's LeBron.
I mean, but still.
Are you comparing SGA LeBron. To LeBron? Are you no. saying Chris Bosh and Chet Holmgren are the same?
Are you gonna straw man me?
My goat.
Are
Chris
you
Bosh?
Are you strawmanning me right now?
I am.
Listen to the essence of what I am saying and then respond. Oh. What I am saying is that I believe, although it did not happen, if the Heat had met the Knicks in the 2013 Eastern Conference Finals, I think that it would have been a decisive victory for Miami in like maybe 6 games. I view the same thing with the Thunder and the Spurs should that matchup happen in the Western Conference Finals. Okay?
It's very hypothetical.
It is a very hypothetical, but I thought it would just be a good case study. But anyways, I think that's just going to about wrap it for us here at Pick and Pod. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode here for Ethan Bess, for Derek Boulier, and Ethan Wax. This is Pick and Pod, and Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports. See you guys next time.